This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce four uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show.
Yo! So a bunch of people, there's a TPUSA event with Kyle Rittenhouse, and the far left is attacking people. Chasing down people. We've got the video here from Julio Rosas, and we will play it for you now. I have not yet seen it.
No justice, nigga. No justice. No peace. No justice. No peace.
I don't think people understand what that means. No justice, no peace. You know what it means?
It means if there's no justice, I'm not going to let there be any peace.
That's not what it means.
Well, that's what I mean when I say it. What do you mean?
These people are saying, we will not allow justice. We will not allow peace.
Oh.
And I think what happens is, like, the delicate sensibility of liberals is they must be saying that if there is no justice, there won't be peace. That's literally not what they're saying. True. They're saying no justice, no peace.
Yeah, exactly.
We do not want justice. We do not want peace.
Yeah.
People and I learned this when I was at Occupy Wall Street, and I asked them and they told me. And I went, huh.
Oh. Wow.
My soft, delicate liberal sensibilities assumed you were saying we will not give you peace if you will not give us justice. And they were laughing. They were like, no.
It means we won't give you justice and we won't give you peace. There will be neither.
It's literal. They're saying no justice, no peace. Yes. What if someone said no smoking, no skateboarding? Would we assume they're saying if you don't allow us to smoke, we won't allow you to skate?
Right.
No, they're saying no to both of them.
No milk, no bread.
That would be, if there were two sentences, it would mean neither. But if it's
no milk, no bread.
If there's a comma, then it would indicate that if then, I believe. Grammatically, if there's
no, even with a comma, the statement is outright. If I said, like, no flip flops, no shorts, I am not saying you have to wear flip flops and shorts at the same time.
No shirt, no shoes, no service.
I am not saying if you do not wear flip flops, I will not allow you to wear shorts. That is not what the phrase no flip flops, no shorts means.
But no shirt, no shoes, no service does mean if you don't wear shirts or shoes, you're not going to get service.
Yes,
right, but it doesn't mean no shirts or no shoes.
I'm going to be honest. I always thought it meant
it's both.
I thought it always meant no milk, no cookies. Like it was, I only am going to have cookies if I also have milk. If you're right, that's horrifying.
Liberals probably think it means if there's no justice, we will not let you have peace. But the far leftists have outright said, as long as I've known them, they're like, are you stupid?
Yeah.
We didn't say that.
We want neither of those things.
I know a guy who's a far leftist and I've known for a long time, and he was active in the hacker community. And we were talking a few years ago and in person in Boston. And I said, what happened to you guys? You don't support free speech anymore. And he laughed and said, we never did. And I said, what are you talking about? That was like the big thing in the hacker community. And he's like, no, we wanted to speak freely because we are not allowed to. Now that we can, we thank you for you helping us. And now we will shut you down.
Jeez, that's villainous.
This is exactly what they say in their meetings. I have been to a ton of their direct action meetings. I have gone to the homes of some of these activists. I have told the story where they talk about, we're going to flip the pyramid over. Do you know what that means, flip the pyramid over? the delicate sensibilities of a liberal is when the pyramid is flipped over, the people on top are on the bottom and the working class are all now on the top.
Yeah, so they all fall down to the ground and then
that's what happens.
One or two of them left over at the top.
So when I asked them, but if you have a pyramid of bricks and you flip it over, the whole thing will crumble into a pile of disarray with only one person on top. And they were like, right. And I was like, right? And they're like, yes, us.
No.
And I was like, wait. You're not saying to put the working class on top. You're saying flip the pyramid over so that the people on the bottom crumble down as the system collapses with you on the top of the pile. And they're like,
yes.
It was not a secret. That's why they were saying smash, burn, destroy.
Right.
This is why they look, these people who are out here protesting and screaming, no justice, no peace, have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, I know. I felt that.
The far leftists have a system where they use red light, green light, red, yellow, and green light. The way they describe these direct actions, what they'll do is, in the private meeting of seven people, these are the higher ups who are organizing and they're smarter. They say, here is our green section. Here's our yellow section. Here's our red. Red's very small. Green is medium. And green is large. Yellow's medium. The red group are actively engaged in conflict with police that will incite violence. The yellow group act as shields to keep cops away from our direct action. The green section are the sacrificial lambs that must get arrested for it. So what the red people do, and they plan this and they tell you this, we are going to march in New York City. We are going to tell people on campus it's to save the whales. Some hokey-dokey bullshit. We want to save trees. This innocent black man was killed by police. Will you march? There's no violence. We're just going to march down the street. That's the green section, this block. The red deployment of direct action, black block, whatever they would call it. We call it Antifa now, but they called it the black block. Mm-hmm. Wear hoodies and masks. They move into the middle of the crowd. They're shorter or they crouch low. And then they chuck a brick at a cop. The police then immediately start breaking up the crowd of doofy college students who have no idea what's going on. The doofy college students get arrested and they're going, why am I being arrested? What do I do? Then they're locked up in jail in a tight cell with 50 people crying, 18-year-old girls in college and young men. And then the direct action people who intentionally go along with them go, you see what police do? Do you see how bad they are? You didn't even do anything wrong and they arrested you. Let's sing songs together to keep our spirits up. And they cult build in the jails.
Radicalization process.
Yes. Intentionally forcing people into a conflict with cops that they've architected, they've built so that they can get innocent people arrested so that those people will become radicalized. That is how they do this. That is what they're doing.
You can see it when you watch the protests and when you watched all the protests in 2020. It was so clear. You would have, you know, the people who were doing the attempting, like the people who were trying to burn down the Portland federal building, right? You had those people. Then you had like the people who were standing there wearing all the same t-shirt being like, we're moms and we're pro Antifa. And then you would have the people who were like randomly chucking something and getting arrested.
And then the moms would go, I'm being arrested and I'm just a mom.
Yes, I'm just a mom.
The moms were the yellow
moms.
And they weren't even moms. Yeah. They weren't even moms.
Nope.
Yep. Like back when this happened, I think it was probably Andy, someone identified one of the far leftists as just like a single, you know, harlot leftist woman.
Yeah. He also uncovered that year there was a woman who vocally spoke about how excited she was to get an abortion.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
7 months, which you can do in Oregon.
Jesus.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Scary, well, man.
Do you think that McCarthyism went far enough?
Well,
I don't know enough about it because it's been romanticized and villainized, and it's just like
it's been romanticized on both sides to a certain extent.
I thought it was horrible and evil, and then lately people are like, didn't go far enough, and I'm like, ha ha ha, and now I'm like, if we do nothing and communists just slowly alter our system, that's not good.
Well, the thing is, guilt by association is always a bad thing.
In China,
right,
are literally buying our country out.
Yes.
You get people who are just like, nah, let them do it.
Guilt by association is not good. I agree with you.
Yeah, that's always a bad thing.
No, but like, When China literally tells you they have a Belt and Road Initiative, and they go and buy everything in Africa, and they buy all the land they can in America, and they buy all, they make all the business dealings, and they basically they set up like a loan sharking situation with all these different countries around the world, it becomes like a thing like, well, why are we letting them buy this much farmland in the United States? Like, for real. Like, I understand, it's I get it, like, you have to let people come
literal
to this country and buy stuff, I get it,
over.
But it's not the same thing. Like, this is like, this is an explicit initiative. They say they want to do these things. They want to take over. They want to be in control. It's like, I don't even think, I think China's a bit of a paper tiger in a lot of ways. But I also think, like, we still shouldn't be letting them buy tons of farmland in the United States.
But now I understand Vietnam.
Yeah, Vietnam too.
Not that the United States did good, but it's like, I can understand the sentiment from back then where it's like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
The communists are literally taking everything.
Dude, the Soviet Union must have been, like, from the American perspective in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, like, right, just knowing what was going on over there and how terrifying that would be to happen. Like, just
yeah. I mean, domino theory is a compelling argument, but on the inverse of that, you have to decide whether or not you believe that free market capitalism ultimately prevails over command economies.
I think it does.
But I think it does too. Why would it ultimately prevail? Like, what would make it ultimately prevail?
Because it's far more productive to allow people to create.
In reality, yes.
I mean, the whole reason that America has been so much more innovative is because of that. So,
but I don't think free market means anyone can do anything. There's rules to a free market.
Well, yeah. And there's, you know,
enforcement of property rights primarily.
And, like, can corporations own property that they're not? How is that possible?
Of course, it doesn't make corporations can own property.
They didn't even exist 150 years ago. That it's
they can still buy stuff.
It was like 18. What was the modern corporation was like 1850 something.
You can still buy stuff as a group.
Well, like,
I mean,
the
what's
American
a corporation?
Codification
a corporation, like,
of corporation if, is different from the corporation. The corporation has existed for a very long.
Yeah,
and
14,
if we got
15,
if like 16, you know the four of us got together and decided to buy property, that's legal.
Okay, the modern corporation invented in the 16th century. Yeah, that's true technically.
You know?
But what about
megacorps? What is a corporation other than the people who are involved in the corporation?
The legal shielding of it too. So like if they all go bankrupt, no one has to go bankrupt.
Okay,
I mean,
no, it
legal
was
liability.
Go.
I mean,
it goes back to
liability companies.
It goes back to ancient Rome.
Wow. Yep. And then the modern corporation was the 16th century in England.
Actually, I think the corporations existed as long as humans have existed.
What's a corporation? It's an agreement.
A body,
we make a deal.
From Latin corpus, a body of people who are working together. And
even if you look
goal.
In the Bible, like, families have shared land and they work the land together. Like, going back to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, they worked the land together.
Corporations were in the Roman Empire, going back to BC. And after the fall of the Roman Empire, there wasn't much going on until the Middle Ages, when the resurrection of corporations came in the 11th to 14th centuries. There you go. Look at that.
I think you might be getting up on this whole idea of, like, people say corporations are people. It's just like in a legal sense. It's just they can be held culpable like a person can for the court to function. They should go to jail.
Yeah. There should be
something wrong. Yeah,
there should be corporate suspension. If a corporation, like, poisons people, then there should be your corporation is hereby shut down for 2 years.
Well, and at the current paradigm is that many corporations don't even have civil liability, much less criminal liability, particularly when it comes to the vaccines. So that is a totally unworkable paradigm. I mean, that
I agree.
Ultimately opens them up. And not only that, but it allows them to basically have exclusive rights to the profit. Well, the taxpayer picks up the R&D bill. And then there's the judicial system is now shielding them from any sort of not just criminal, but civil liability. It is a racket on top of a racket. And that is one thing that RFK Jr. is really good on.
I think we're headed for a dark age, maybe.
Oh, I was wondering about that.
I was thinking about that myself.
Because we're in a golden age.
Yeah, and we're losing so much knowledge all the time. Like, we're just losing knowledge all the time.
Well,
like, I look at this with the kids, and they can't read cursive most of the time.
Think about how
they can't read it. Right, so how are they going to read the old stuff?
You think about ancient Rome, from the Republic to the Empire, it lasted for a very, very long time. And then once it fell, you got the Dark Ages. And it's remarkable how it was just like rampant barbarism and insanity for
a thousand years during that period of time. Like in the Dark Ages, they invented the mirror, which is kind of cool. And we wouldn't have satellites.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. It was like in 1200.
Huh.
Yeah. It wasn't like
the wheelbarrow was invented during the Dark Ages. And also we did have the,
plumbing though.
We lost a lot of stuff. Yeah, like really shit went backwards.
Most important
and
that,
that's
yeah.
what I've been thinking about too. Is like you know, in the South Park movie, and nobody knows how to do shit. That's what we have now. Nobody knows how to do shit. Like I have a house and there's stuff that definitely needs to be done to it. And I don't fucking know how to do it. Yeah. And I can't find anyone to help me do it.
We're given these hyper advanced tools and we're like,
so perhaps the modern mirror was invented using, what do they do? Silver or nitrate in glass. But mirrors have existed for 8,000 plus years.
Yeah. Really? Because I was looking this up and they invented the mirror in like 1200. The one that we use for satellites.
But maybe that's like they pour, I think it's like silver nitrate on glass and then it dries.
Yeah.
That specific process perhaps, but
I like the way
I just Google searched it and they're like,
well, what
the earliest known manufactured mirrors go back 8,000 years.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, staring into pools of water was like probably the original mirror.
Narcissus. Well, a narcissist.
Yeah, but a manufactured mirror that people would hold was 8,000 years ago.
Yeah, Chinese had mirrors, I think, back in the day. Oh, yeah. Someone in chat mentioned that too. T-Van.
Regarding, like, I think about a lot about civilization, the game. You go into golden ages and then you can go into a dark age and, like, you still progress in a dark age. It's just much, much slower.
Yeah.
And golden ages are, you can still fail. You can still be conquered in a golden age, but you're in just a heightened state of production and communication in a golden age. So we have an opportunity right now to propel our golden age if we keep coming together and working.
This is why
we have to like maintain some form of knowledge, and we have to like recognize that we can't have all of our forms of knowledge be so easily erasable. If you think about it, like the most ancient forms of knowledge that we have, like what would it be like? Tablets, like carved tablets, papyrus. Cuneiform stuff. You know, the Rosetta Stone, that kind of thing, and those could be smashed. But what do we have now? Like All of our human information is on the internet. What happens if that goes down for real?
The first mirrors were obsidian.
Nice.
Oh, that makes sense.
The black rock.
And then brass.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Wow.
Well, okay. So yeah, the modern mirror that we could not have satellites without was invented, by the Florentines or something in something like 1200? So that's what I'm talking about there.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Middle Ages, with improvements in glass-making technology in France, allowed them to actually create the modern mirror with glass and silver and stuff. But I wonder if that's what's going to happen. Like, the American Republic is going to shift into the American Empire. Donald Trump will be the first emperor of America or something. Or it could be shit, and it could be Hillary Clinton. I don't know.
I think it was Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, no, like, we're still the Republic. The Roman Republic was faltering with shitheads before it became the empire.
That's true.
Right. So maybe it's Trump. And then he's like, you know, I can't leave because the Democrats, they're going to kill this country. And then you end up with Trump staying in power or something.
He's got to understand the sword of Damocles metaphor. He must understand that.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Maybe 100 years from now, the world just shatters and it becomes like the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages.
Well, this is why libertarians rail against central banking so much, is because exactly what I described earlier, that 95% purity was maintained for 300 years. And then over the next 100 or so years, when in the empire phase, is when it came to an end. So I think we're somewhere in that trajectory. I don't know exactly.
You know, it was overexpansion that caused them to fail, too. So if we could retract our global presence, that could be a huge leap towards maintaining integrity.
Well, that's exactly the libertarian argument, but this is where I get accused of being told, you know, I'm trying to avoid every fight. I just think that there are certain fights that are simply unwinnable. And when you're talking about nuclear powers, those are unwinnable fights. We have to avoid nuclear war. We have to.
Well, what if our enemies don't want to avoid it?
Well, I'd still rather us not all die, you know?
But if our enemies don't want to avoid it, why would we not all die?
Well, yeah, no, we would all die if they fire. But I mean, the whole concept of mutually assured destruction is that because we would, they won't.
Right. But if they're for sure that we would never use it.
Yeah, no, I understand.
That's not a great situation.
You have to maintain the threat, because otherwise mutually assured destruction doesn't stand.
Exactly.
But you also don't want to be overly provocative with nuclear powers unnecessarily.
They call that meekness, when you have strength, but you don't use it. And they say the meek will inherit the earth. It's the people
having
the arsenal.
Speak softly, but carry a big stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Teddy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important that we project strength.
Well, I don't know. We've done a lot of that.
And it's done good for us.
We're not supposed to be using it at every turn. We're just supposed to let people know, like, if you step out of line, it's not going to be good for you, and it's going to be good for us, so don't do it.
At a certain point, projection of strength becomes untenable because you no longer have the financial power to do so.
Yeah.
And we're swiftly approaching that point. So we have to ask ourselves, are we going to face reality and realize that we can no longer be the policemen of the world, or are we going to continue to bluff and bluster ourselves in a World War III, in which case the empire comes crumbling down violently? I opt to be realistic and withdraw from the political sphere on the global level and focus on domestic politics and focusing on our economy and our people. I think that's the answer that provides the greatest hope for not just peace, but also prosperity. And I think that anything outside of that paradigm is extraordinarily destructive.
Do you think we need a global police system?
I do not.
But what about like barbarians?
I mean, we still have national defense, Ian. I mean, I'm not talking about opening the border. I'm not an open borders libertarian. I'm also not talking about abolishing the police necessarily. I would like to see it privatized. But, you know, there's still something to be said for law and order in terms of
structuring. Like the way that fire insurance companies used to be in the colonial days? That like you can't call police unless you pay for it.
I mean, you would still have charity organizations that allow for those that can't afford it to receive services.
So charity organizations, what do you mean? Like,
well, so for instance, firefighting is primarily done by volunteers in America.
Right. But if you let's say you're poor and you can't afford to pay your private, like around here, you sort of pay for everything a la carte. You pay for your garbage pickup. You pay for
it's perfect. You get a gun.
Right. So
and then
if
when
you
someone breaks in your house, you shoot him and kill him, and that person's dead. And so you don't got to worry about it because ain't no cops showing up anyway.
Well, what if that person had cop insurance and then somebody's showing up for you because that person was covered under cop insurance?
You shoot them.
You just shoot the cops that show up.
Anyone who's trying to break into my house to take me by force against my will gets a bullet.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's one way to handle it. This is a great society you got going.
Yeah, the libertarian private police system doesn't make sense. No. Not that a monopoly on violence is the best system there could possibly be, but this idea, I was talking to Dr. Rechtenwald about this, and he had literally no answer, and it was the stupidest thing. I'm sorry, man.
What was the argument?
He said police should be private, and I said, how does that work? And he said, you pay for the local police. And I said, okay, so like, what if I live in one town and a guy from another town comes to my town and robs my house? He's like, you tell your police. And I'm like, so then what do my police do about it? Do they go to the neighboring town's police department and tell them, like, you got to get this guy to give his shit back? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like,
but that's how it works now. There's jurisdictions.
Yes, but it's all under one. So if one police department can't get the job done, it escalates. And there is a problem where there is a highest level where it can't escalate beyond this. But reducing it down to a molecular level results in two police departments declaring themselves the arbiters of justice and then just shooting at each other.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to have reciprocal arrangements with different jurisdictions to allow for this. So I think there's answers. It's not simple. I mean, we're talking about replacing the entire, law and order system of America. It's not easy.
You kind of like talking about like military, a mesh network.
Like it's not possible. You'd have either you don't have police or you have police.
Well you could That's do it. The metaphor is like the mesh network of social of your internet versus a centralized server. And that's like the centralized server is the overarching police state that's saying you can. That's doing jurisdiction coordination, or you can have a decentralized mesh if you could somehow coordinate it. And it would just be a matter of making sure that all these networks talking to each other.
Wouldn't work. But you know
need,
why?
You need electricity. It's really work. Relying on electricity.
Wouldn't work because what's going to happen is, and this is already technically true, but there are limitations. If I have a private police department and I am very rich and I go to my private police department and I say, look, this guy's causing me problems. I need you to take care of it. I pay you a lot of money for this. And they're going to say, guys, this is one of our biggest clients. We cannot lose him. He's funding like 17% of the department.
You just proved it to me, man.
Go down and arrest this guy. So they go down to this neighboring town and they go to a suspected criminal and they say, we're putting you under arrest. And he immediately runs to his kitchen, calls the police, says, guys, need you to come here. Right. And these guys, one of our subscribers is being harassed by some neighboring department. They come down. And then my department is like, they go on the radio and they're like, what do we do? And they're like, we cannot lose Poole. You will lose your job. Arrest them. Right. Do not let anyone stop you. And then he's like, I pay you guys. Protect me. I don't know what they're talking about. Then these cops are negotiating. What are you talking about? Then my cops are like, this guy is accused of a crime and we got evidence. We're arresting him. He's going to stand trial. And then his cops go, you're not touching the guy. Okay. He pays our bills. Well, my guy pays my bills. Bang, 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 bang.
Well, it's not.
Yeah, that's not better.
It's not. Well, it's not particularly different from the current situation. You'll already see that with.
Actually, it is. The current situation is if I have a problem and I call the police, my town calls the other department and says, this is what happened. And then they say, neither of these individuals pay our bills. So let's just resolve this so it reduces conflict.
My point is that right now, the people that get the most special treatment are usually government officials or policemen themselves. I mean, you still have corruption that exists in the public system as well. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I said it's not like our current system is the best there could be, but certainly a private police system. I would be more in favor of abolishing police before setting up private police.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, you can't have a private adjudication. It's impossible.
Well, why not? You could still have just... In terms of it being mandated, it's just voluntary agreements as to what the rules are in a town.
If there is no agreed upon in law authorization for what gives someone the right to enforce the laws, then...
But that's what I'm describing, though. I'm saying that you would have that structured based off of your town, but people would live there because they have voluntarily agreed to that essential, like the social contract that they talk about when it comes to all Americans. Well, it could actually apply because you're taking it down to a lower level town.
No, it literally can't.
Why not?
If there's a private police force, I just go to the chief and I say, I'll increase your budget by $1 million if you go kill some guy for me.
Well, I understand.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, you can still have corruption, of course.
But corruption, that's just market politics.
I think I'd rather have corruption in the hands of the government than in the hands of the wealthy.
Well, it's really about neither. So how about we just abolish police and everyone gets a gun?
I mean, everybody should be able to get a gun anyway. I kind of like police.
No cops. None of them. No private. And then we have guns. And then what I do is I hire a posse.
That's the problem is you got to go to sleep sometimes. So you need a police to guard you while you're sleeping.
The reason why we opposed abolishing the police is that the police normalize things for the working class. The ultra wealthy have G4S and Securitas. Right. Poor people have, I need to call the police when something happens.
Right.
But now the police have abandoned them. Mm-hmm. Wealthy elites and people like AOC still get their high quality.
They still just have their security people. Yeah. So when they go out there saying abolish the police, they don't mean for themselves. They just mean for the rest of us so that nothing can, you know, nobody can.
We got to go to callers.
Protect still, their own homes.
Do people still say to abolish the cops? Is that still going on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
ACAB all day. People say it every
That's a line in the song me and Toby did. We should play that
later.
Let's
get those.
You've made a song where you said ACAB?
Yeah. Let's get those callers.
All right. Whipsy, what's going on? How are you?
Banksy's little brother.
It goes, ACAB hashtag back the blue. What the fuck is going on? Something like that. It's really good. You're going to love it.
What up?
Hey, Whipsy, how you doing?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Great show, great panel tonight. I'd just like to ask one question to the panel, really, and that is, with the unannounced surprise visit of Obama to the UK this Monday, personally, to me, is clearly signaling that Biden has never been in sort of presidential control. What do you think was discussed, and what implication does this have for both the UK and US upcoming elections?
I do not believe this means that Biden was not in control. It means that Barack Obama is meeting with someone in the UK. We don't know. Like it's impossible to speculate. Obama's not been public facing on anything relevant. For all we know, he's meeting about a book deal. We just have literally no idea.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, man. I'm not at all certain. There was rumors that I think it was Middleton may be deceased, that the king may be dead. Like there was a bunch of rumors floating around. I have no idea what the truth is.
Dude, this Middleton shit's getting crazier and crazier.
What is it?
Someone at the hospital tried hacking to steal the medical records to figure out what happened to her. They put out this video where it's Prince William and Kate walking, but it fucking does not look like Kate Middleton. And there's Christmas lights up. Instantly, everyone was like, those are Christmas lights. This is an old video. And then someone was like, that didn't even look like her. And I'm like, it literally does not look like her.
And then there's a picture.
Other people were like, she's not wearing makeup and it's a grainy footage. Calm down. It's her. And I'm like, it's not proof. Shut the fuck up. I don't care if you think it's her or not. I'm just saying that's not proof. Have her walk up to a microphone and be like, I'm getting milk. Leave me the fuck alone. I'll be like, there she is. But they're not doing that. Someone tried hacking the computers to get her records. Obama going to the UK because while the king may be dead. Shit.
Has he not shown his face lately?
Or Middleton. Maybe something crazy happened with Russia, dude. Maybe Donald Trump is actually the real prime minister and he's pretending. I'm kidding.
By the way, Barron's looking healthy. I like that guy.
Barron, you see that? Character. You saw that guy who said he's fair game now?
Yeah. And then he deleted it.
That was really funny.
Yeah, because everyone was calling him out. I said he was thirsty as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fair game for what?
Well, of course, he meant fair game to be attacked. He had like some media attack like, bloodlust in his
heart.
He's
18, it's fair game. It's like, yeah, hey, dude.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, we ran a little bit of a torqued headline that said, you know, deletes after lusting after. You know?
So there is a Kate Middleton body double who like gave an interview. You saw that?
Yep.
Yeah, and she said it wasn't her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because when this whole thing started and it was like Kate Middleton's going in for some sort of abdominal surgery, I was like, maybe she's having a hysterectomy or something. Because sometimes, that's what you do if you don't want to have more kids, but it seems a little extreme.
Or it's cancer.
Maybe there's some sort of cancer going on or something like that. And then it was like, I figured, that takes a long time to recover from abdominal surgery. So I thought she'll be out of the public eye for a while. But then when you started getting these like weird photos and then she's saying that she tweaked them herself, but you're not actually seeing her say that.
And her face was her face is from the Vogue magazine cover.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's kind of weird, like, what's going on. But also,
World War III, baby, the simulation is breaking down. Let's go. Well,
they were saying that she wanted to get a divorce, maybe?
If something really did happen to her, like, they would get so much money, the royal family. They would, like, have a whole big royal funeral. It would be a huge outpouring. It would be, like, a windfall. So why would they not?
Well, I don't know, but
something like that.
Maybe she's in recovery.
Whipsy, is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, that turned onto a royal discussion there. I wasn't sure that was who we were after, but anything to add?
Just that I think at the moment, personally, I think it's the media hype surrounding like the royal family and the stuff that's going on, vice versa, with Harry and Meghan and everything. I personally, I think there probably is some sort of serious illness, but it's not something that she wants public knowledge and prefers to keep private.
Maybe it was appendicitis. Do you think she could have had appendicitis or something like that?
That's
possibly. I'm more going on as a hysterectomy sort of thing, like yourself. Yeah. Maybe it's just complications because abdominal surgery. She had 3 children, and it does affect.
It's a lot.
As you get into the later life in your 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. maybe that's the situation that's caused. But yeah, I know it's we're purely open to speculation at the moment. I think we just got to wait until we see what happens in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, True Mate, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Cheers. Thanks. Bye-bye. Cheers.
See ya. All right. Now these names I got to, scroll to find. Secondhand Vegan. What's going on? How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
We're doing well.
Thanks for taking my call.
I know this
I guess
name.
My question is kind of for the panel / mostly Tim, I guess. For the past 3 weeks, the entire city of Rochester, New York, has been drinking from a reservoir which had a dead body floating.
Whoa!
We just found that out yesterday.
Goodness, that is really gross.
Bummer.
Sounds like New York.
Get a well.
Yeah,
just kidding. Well. Just kidding. Just kidding.
So my question is, does that make everyone in the city a cannibal now?
No. It does sound pretty disturbing, man.
No, if you're drinking from a river and there's a body upstream, you don't know, you're not a cannibal. You're just drinking dirty water.
Right. If something you do leads to someone's death, you're not necessarily a murderer, although you might still be considered a killer. If you're not actively eating the human, you're not cannibalizing, even though you may have accidentally consumed it.
Are you concerned about this because you are vegan or secondhand vegan?
Or because you were drinking the water and it's kind of gross?
Well, secondhand vegan means that I'm a meat eater, but so the shop that I work at, we're pretty slow right now, and I was washing our trucks yesterday all day long, power washing them with the water, and then I came home and found out that there's been a dead body in the water for the past 3 weeks. But
3 weeks.
Well, wow. A lot of people are probably gonna get sick, a lot of diseases. This is why.
Well, there's tons of chlorine in it too. But
yeah,
just thought it was funny.
So maybe that's okay. Yeah. We out here we have well water. And so we don't have nothing to worry about. We have
I'm on well too.
Yeah, see, you're good. We've got this. We're getting the highest quality filtration systems installed at Freedomistan, 3 of them. And so it's like we told them like, hey, we want a good filtration system, and they said, okay, we'll come and we'll install these. And then I was like, is that the best they can do? And then Allison was like, well, they have these better ones. They're way more expensive. I'm like, get the best.
I say we go on the attack, and then we say that Kathy Hochul is a cannibal.
She is pretty gross and weird. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I've always suspected she was a cannibal. This just makes it proved. Mm-hmm.
I heard a rumor that, she eats people.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard from a guy that heard from another guy that she ate people.
This is how rumors start. This is how QAnon began.
It's like Clint goes, I bet she's a cannibal. That wouldn't surprise me. And I'm like, whoa, Ian, did you hear? I heard this rumor that she's a cannibal.
Dude, Tim told me that he heard from a guy, from Clint, that she was a cannibal.
No. At that point, you say, dude,
I knew a guy that heard from another guy.
No, here's the best part. Then you go to Serge and you tell Serge, dude, I heard this rumor that Kathy Hochul's a cannibal. And Serge goes, what? Then I go to Libby and say, I heard this rumor that Kathy Hochul's a cannibal. And she goes, what? And then Serge goes to Libby and says, did you hear that Kathy Hochul's a cannibal? And she goes, yes, I heard that too.
Yep.
Confirmed.
Confirmation bias.
Confirmed.
You're welcome, world.
A cannibal.
Probably not a cannibal.
Reza Aslan is a cannibal.
The scary part, though, is that with like with AI and with the regurgitation machine, if we just put that in the internet, then the next thing you know, ChatGPT is telling everyone that Kathy Hochul's a cannibal.
I mean,
we should make a Half Moon set for Freedomistan so we can launch the first show as if we're MSNBC and just act like the corporate press.
That would be really fun. Be
yeah, it'd be hilarious.
Tim Kass,
did you hear that Donald Trump said that he was predicting a landslide in 49 states? I mean, he's talking about killing untold millions. I saw that from the Babylon Bee. I know, but that's the joke. Killing untold millions.
All you really need is like a makeup person so that everyone just looks like that.
This is what I should do. When the left takes all those clips of me doing the 49 state landslide meme, because it was basically the Trump meme, was like 49 state landslide, baby. I should just be like, no, I was talking about Trump murdering all these people by triggering rock
what
slides.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
What do you think I was talking about?
Yeah, I wasn't thinking he was going to win. I was thinking he was going to go on a murderous rampage.
Trump has some space lasers. He's teamed up with Elon Musk. They're going to trigger some rock slides.
Tim Kass community, I'm calling upon you to go to Kathy Hochul's Wikipedia page.
No.
Oh, man. All right. Is that a good enough response?
You will get sued into oblivion for that.
It was a joke.
You can go to Kathy Hochul's Wikipedia page. Kathy, that's all you said.
You're not a cannibal, Kathy. It's a joke.
But if you instruct people to go and commit an act, yeah, you're getting sued.
Just for, okay. I guess
that's why I said no. If you literally said to tell people to go do a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I retract it, government. It was a fucking joke.
Not government. She's just going to sue you.
Well, yeah.
I
don't know.
I gotta be honest. Because the issue is her staff definitely monitors Wikipedia. They all do.
Of course.
They're going to see this and they're going to ask how it happened. Right. They're going to find out you said it. And then they're going to be like, fuck this.
No, I take it back. It was just being playful. Playful cannibalism.
Upon it being disavowed, anything else to add, friend?
No, that's it. Kathy Hochul's definitely a cannibal, though.
Hell yeah, brother. Cheers, man.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. Let's talk to...
I heard this rumor that Ian came in right, strummed out this tune, yeah, and I said, that's a number one record.
That's right.
This tune, yeah.
Rucker Morrison.
That's tune,
yeah. How you doing? Rucker Morrison. Not sure.
Yeah, that's fine. Long-time listener from Alberta. I have about a three-part question.
It's a lot.
Too many parts. By criminal migrants to seize territory, specifically property and homes, is it safe to say that the situation has changed from a passive invasion to an active invasion? Secondly, with that, do you still trust that at least not a small portion of Democrats aren't actively committing treason, specifically on behalf of the CCP and Iran? And finally, why do you trust a traitor who helps your enemies over your enemy directly just because he owns a house in Delaware?
Well, that's three questions, not three parts to one question.
Right. So the first thing I'd say is it's an invasion. The second thing is there probably are people committing treason. I'm looking at Adam Schiff. I don't trust the guy. I don't have any evidence to suggest he's actually committing treason. I just say if he's anybody who's going to do it, this guy's got to be working with the CCP. And my point about, say, Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, or Joe Biden is that Joe Biden has property in Delaware. That means he very much would like to enjoy his property in Delaware. Russia does not care at all about his property in Delaware. So if these two people decide to go to war, I'm going to be like, well, I don't like Joe Biden. I don't like Vladimir Putin. Joe Biden's a shithead who affects me personally. But at least I know that if Joe Biden wins, the peripheral damage from outside of his home will be minimized, which includes where I live. Russia would nuke Delaware and the United States, and I happen to live in the United States, so I'm going to have to side with the shithead who's from the United States.
Yeah. I hope that was a good response. It seems like it was a pretty measured response. Ian,
I was overloaded by the questions. Was there one in particular you'd like me to focus on an answer or one that you wanted a little bit more on?
Specifically, the first one is the main highlight of the criminal aliens now moving from just being passively invading to actively
it's one guy. It's all an invasion, but if you wanted to get serious and say passive versus an active invasion would be an organized group of people from some country armed planning to rip through the barricades. I suppose it's fair to say that we're literally being invaded. There's no reason to qualify.
Yeah, I would say that the migration is a form of an invasion, but not necessarily an attack. If they come armed, then you could say that they are attacking us, and that's completely different than that's an addition to because you can have disarm migrants invade. Invade means to go from without to within or whatever.
And if you have tens of thousands of Chinese nationals that are coming across, which just happened in January, according to CBP, well, are any of them sleeper cells? And if they're allowed to now, legally acquire weaponry in America, that does seem pretty self-defeating. I don't know at what point it becomes aggression, but it certainly seems perilous.
Yeah. Anything else out of that, friend?
Nope. Best regards to all of you.
You too, man.
Right. Thanks for calling in.
Cheers. Likewise.
See ya.
Alrighty, and last but not least, we got Escavel. Escavel, how you doing?
Good job, Serge. greetings from California, aka the Dark Ages.
Whoa.
Hey.
Basically, I have a question for the whole panel. Clint, I think you have a lot to provide for this, because it's about California. I was born and raised here, and, my family immigrated here from different countries, and, we've been here for a couple generations, and we built a life for ourselves, and we worked really hard, and we had a lot of good times. And over the pandemic, my whole immediate family fled the state, much like you, Clint. They went to Idaho.
Yep.
And me and my wife are going to be following them this summer.
Great.
Because
where are you going?
I refuse to raise my family in this hellhole. So
congrats, man.
I'm just curious. Thank you. I'm curious. Should I like wash my hands of California, because it's my home and I love it. And, I just would hate to not be able to feel like I can come back here one day.
Yeah. Well, this is the debate that Tim and I were in earlier, basically, in that, like, I'm of the belief that there are certain fights that are unwinnable. And California, as someone who spent over 30 years there, I decided that the only option for, peaceful solutions was for me to flee to a state that was more free. Tim is also right, though, that there is a point at which there is nowhere else to go and that you have to put your foot in the fucking ground and fight back. So I'm of the opinion, though, that California
are not the same thing. You don't have to live in California to think the federal government should bring California to heel. It's just that the solution to solving the problem of California is not living in it and waving a sign around. It's moving to an area where your vote has a bigger impact, like Pennsylvania or Ohio.
Right.
Voting for Donald Trump and then hoping that Donald Trump brings them to heal.
Or inspiring the people of California.
But I would say get the fuck out.
A lot of times it's tough to change the system from within it. So if you can get out of the system and then inspire the people over there to change, that's a good way to go about it. It's kind of how they legalized weed.
I think
a lot of people say that you should stay where you are and fight to defend it because the Marxists will just take over. And we've danced around this issue. We've gone back and forth a little bit. I think the position I'm at now is, if you suffer and die in this place and you can't strive, thrive, then you are not assisting in our efforts to fix things.
Right.
So if you were to move to the likes of West Virginia or Florida, maybe, but I think West Virginia is the big opportunity. That's why we're here. Florida is super overcrowded. There's a lot of leftists there, though it is very right wing. And Texas needs it probably because they're actually a bit purple. West Virginia is deep red, but West Virginia needs the economic development, so it needs smart, talented people who want to work hard. If you move to these places, you have maximum opportunity for growth. And then if you become more powerful, you have a bigger family, that adds more power to this side of things.
This actually ties in perfectly to my argument earlier about whether or not you believe that command economies versus free market economies ultimately prevail. I think that you will see progress in California only when their system comes crumbling down because they are no longer honoring property rights. You're already seeing mega corporations that are fleeing the state. The economic consequences and the fallout have only begun to be felt. So I think that's where the opportunity will come for people to actually have an awakening and perhaps decide to choose a different path. But we're not there yet.
I mean, it's going to have to go a longer then, because so many people have left the state. I think the last 2 years are the first years in 100 years where they've lost over 100,000 people.
Yeah, man.
And it's actually kind of funny. I just recently moved south to San Francisco, and I reached out on Facebook to a GOP group on Facebook, and it's just filled with old fogies with old ideas that They still think California is savable as it is right now, and I just can't help but laugh
Dude,
at them.
You got my mom, my dad, my brother. Almost everyone I know still lives there, man, and a lot of them are holding on to hope, even though Gavin Newsom got recalled and then won by 2/3 of the fucking vote. I'm like, this guy is fucking straight out of like totalitarian, like dictionary definition. This guy's horrifying. So, yeah, man, it's gonna get a lot worse there before it gets better. That's my honest opinion.
I had the same feelings about New York City, which is where I lived for like 20 years, and you know, my mom was born in New York. My grandparents were born in New York. My son was born in New York. So I had similar feelings. And then I really wanted to stay and stick it out and fight. But the damage that it was doing to my family was too great. And I couldn't afford that. I couldn't afford that damage. And now looking at the city that I love so well, every year that goes by that they continue to deteriorate adds like another, you know, 3 or 5 years to the recovery time. Yeah. So when it was, you know, when we, after COVID and Bill de Blasio, who was absolutely terrible, I thought, okay, the city needs like a decade. It's going to take a decade to recover. And now I'm thinking like, it's 20 years, you know, it's 20 years to recover.
And then we were like, Libby, you got to come here.
And then I moved here. Yeah, right. I did.
And it's paradise.
I bought a house. I wouldn't say it's paradise.
Oh, she's lying. She can't shut up about it.
I wouldn't say it's paradise. I miss New York, but I do love my little house.
I was a third generation Californian, man. So I appreciate the heartache that you've gone through and you know, the courage it takes to ultimately get out of there. It's not easy.
You guys want to hear a wild story about California?
Yeah.
The Barracks, the most influential skate brand for a long time, they recently shut down as of December. They rented this massive facility. It was like 20 or 30,000 square feet or something. Every pro went there. They had huge contests. When they rented the place, it was $8,000 a month. By the end, by mid or sometime around last year, the rent was $108,000 a month. Yep.
How many years between those two?
Like 10 years.
What the fuck?
$108,000 is too much for a monthly rent. I'm just going
to
say it right
now.
So
it's a big warehouse. It was 30,000 square feet. But the rent jumped that high to the point where the Barracks was like, we can't afford this anymore. And they shut down. Wow. And they haven't posted for 3 months.
Taxes, Tim.
Yep. It's being fucking destroyed. And so it was crazy to see them. They announced they destroyed it all. In New York,
you have, you know, on Fifth Avenue, Madison Avenue, you have closed storefronts. That's absolutely out of control.
Mag Mile, dude.
And it's like,
okay, this blew my mind.
It's like $20,000 rent, but if I can just, landlords can get a tax deduction for the difference between, for the loss of the market value of the rent if they don't rent it out. So it's better for them to not rent it.
So I follow this Decaying Midwest on Instagram where they, Urban Explorers, and they had this one video I saw and it said, we went through a sewer and found ourselves inside a skyscraper or something. I was like, oh, wow. And then I'm watching it. And once they get to the top floor, I went, wait, what the fuck? That building's abandoned? It is a prominent Mag Mile building that had a food court. Completely abandoned now. Yep.
Yeah.
That's like insane.
Do you know what Mag Mile is?
Is it the Magnificent?
Yeah, Magnificent Mile in Chicago.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
It's where the water tower is. It's by like John Hancock. It is a major touristy spot. And one of the main buildings where I used to go and get lunch when I would work in Chicago, gone.
And if you remember, there was local level officials in California that were taking victory laps when Elon was threatening to leave California. These people are extraordinarily self-defeating and vicious. And I think that the productive aspects of society have no choice but to get out. That's my honest opinion. I had a multi-million dollar business in California. I left, you know, there's just no reason to punish yourself like that.
Right. I left after a while as well. And I lived in California when I was younger. But if someone's living in Idaho too, I would definitely not like hold on to being too Californian in Idaho. They don't really take too kindly to that up there.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think eventually you have to make a decision that's best for you, man. No one knows your personal thing, but at this point, like, it's gotten so bad. At least when I was there too, the gas was like $7.45 when I left like 2 years ago. It's like back up to that now. It went back down for a little bit, but
I left in 2018, and I had a similar feeling. I felt like I was failing. Like I failed myself when I left, because I was like, this is where it's happening, this is where it's gonna happen, and it doesn't matter.
Look how stupid Chicago is.
I love that area. Okay, that's where there's the underground streets and the above ground.
Lower Wacker. That's all. So I'm like, whacker. Okay, let's go to Mag Mile. Where the
Michigan Ave.
And it's like, I clicked forward and I went underground and I was like, God damn it.
Yo, that's a cool area.
It just brought me underground.
I used to work down there.
Because it's got like three levels.
It's so beautiful in the summer.
It's a great part of town.
Oh, hey, look, you want to see where Jussie Smollett did his bullshit?
Fuck yeah, dude. We sing about him in the song too.
This is the clock.
This is going to be some song.
It's great.
This is this big clock. You just have arms and it would tell you what time it was. And when you were up in these buildings, you could look down.
Oh, cool.
NBC is right over here somewhere. There's NBC.
Is it Michigan Ave?
Ew, gross.
No, this is Columbus Drive. Okay. But so this is around the area where Jussie Smollett was. And I think it was right under here, actually.
That's so funny.
Where's the subway?
Well, there's a Whole Foods.
The subway ground. Is somewhere back over here.
But that's where he was walking when it was like negative.
Yeah,
20,
so it was, I think it was here. And the funny thing is, having grown up here, ain't no humans live here, dude.
That's all work. It's all businesses over there.
Yeah,
dude,
so
that,
it's like...
That area's, I dream about this area. I want to build like a world city like that in a fantasy land.
It was that's like somewhere awesome. Back there.
Anyone that believes in freedom is going to be living in those
Look
hotels
at this.
Soon.
You got. I want to go up. How do I go up? Where's the up?
Yes, jump. Hit space bar.
How do I go up?
I don't know. They need to gamify
There's
this
stairs.
Shit.
Did you see the stairs?
Yeah, but you can't Google, like, here. Wait, if I click, what happens if I click Bank of America? Okay, that didn't help me. Wait. How do I get up there?
unattached from the ground. Free mode. No.
I want to go up. I can't do it.
I'm surprised they don't let you fly around. I guess you're looking at picture
There's
after picture.
There's a Chick-fil-A now.
Dude, when this goes virtual and you can just fly around the earth like this, the entire
planet, hey, I made it upstairs.
Cool,
dude, it's wild. The mud flood theorists love Chicago because they think it proves it.
Wow.
Because the when they raised the whole city up, they didn't actually lift any buildings. They just built
on top.
Sidewalk over the sidewalk,
yeah.
And then created new front doors for the buildings. So when you go to Lower Wacker. The building's original storefronts and everything.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah.
So wild. So the Lake Michigan just swelled at some point and mudded up the base of the Chicago. What's the theory?
Mud flood theory is that a great Tartarian empire conquered the world and then a gigantic flood wiped out all of civilization. And we are not building buildings. We are discovering buildings by digging.
Oh, that's too far for me. That part of the theory.
So they said they love Chicago because the city got raised up because of a concern about flooding. And so it used to be, Chicago was built over the lake. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, okay, we can't do this. So they just went like 15 feet up and then built new sidewalk and streets on, it's like, it's fucking nuts.
That's like
you're
what
walking
they do
on
in
the
Venice.
Street,
that's so cool.
You're walking on the streets, but you're actually in a building. Like this sidewalk right here.
I love this
shit. It's a building. Underneath this is steel support beams.
Yeah, dude.
That's badass.
That's cool.
It is super unique. For the metropolises, it's a unique
one. Look. When you're underneath the sidewalk, you're walking on all this fucking
weird. If you ever
shit.
Go to Chicago and you feel safe, this area is a cool tourist attraction, to be
not
honest.
Not anymore, dude.
If you really?
This is the street. You're not walking on a street. You're walking on a building with beams and poles. So they raise the whole city up. But I think that's
in Venice. They keep like, you know, they'll just go to the next floor up.
Anyway, we should probably wrap up. Is there anything else?
Yeah, anything else to add, my friend?
Well, I just want to say thank you to Cliff for your kind words. I really appreciate it. You kind of hit it on the head there. There's a lot of heartbreak because I'm also third generation, so I appreciate you.
I lived it. It's very, very easy to be sympathetic to your plight here, man.
And you guys talked earlier about, you know, loss of birthright, and man, that's what it feels like.
Yep.
That's really what it feels like. So
they started
from thank
us.
You guys, everybody from California,
that's how I feel
everyone
in New
you
York too.
Are
that's
so important to keeping us sane out here, Tim. I got so much positive stuff to say about you, but I'll
appreciate
leave
it
at that. Thank you guys.
Right on, man. Thanks for calling in.
Hell yeah, man.
Great show, guys.
Best of luck in Idaho, brother.
Yes.
Does that do it for callers?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Clint, thanks for hanging out.
Hell yeah, dude.
Been fun. And for everybody who's a member, I got to go to bed.
Go to bed, Tim.
Time I'm going
to
play Helldivers too.
Dude.
All right.
Tune in a month from now when Tim is fucking jacked out of his mind. It's going to be
awesome. Oh,
dude,
I'm
you should have heard him grunting earlier. It was so powerful.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I could hear
it. It was brutal.
Like, ooh, it felt good.
Yeah.
It's like, living right, through vicariously.
Let me be clear with the audience. Tim is not building for bulk. Ian, on the other hand, is going to be 250 pounds
shredded.
Of yes. fucking raw
Yo,
steel.
You should hear the Ian, voice.
Have one scoop of casein protein before bed.
Okay.
Boom. That's all you got to do. And that will actually help build muscle mass.
Protein casein, and water? Just protein water?
Casein protein and water. One scoop, 20 grams, not even that much. And you'll. All right, we're going to go to bed.
Thanks
for hanging out, everybody. We'll see y'all tomorrow.